I was in there at 7 o'clock.
Get a picture with yourself.
We will start the meeting of the Community Services Committee meeting for Tuesday, April 23rd.
Telling you, Dave, that was...
Council members present are council member Bill Patrick, Councilman Shelton, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Smiley, Councilwoman Diller, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Doretta, my legislative aide is Nikai Trailer, and I'm Councilman Hollins. Councilman Powell is always also joining us. Can I have a motion for...
Motion to approve the minutes of previous meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The first item on the agenda is resolution number 13113. And it'll be presented to us and discussed by the general manager, Alan Matus. I would just like to mention, I've mentioned this before, that this is the contract between Newcastle County government and the federal government as relates to our application. This authorizes the filing for the application, but it also means is a contract between us and the federal government. And that contract also, as part of it, as HUD had mentioned to us, it includes the Cranston-Gonzalez National Affordable Housing Act of 1992. So when HUD was talking to us about being part of a contract, this is exactly what we meant. What they meant is that when we filed this resolution, we are in fact a part of that contract that Newcastle County government has with the federal government for HUD dollars. With that, I'll turn it over to Alan Matus. Alan, please.
Thank you, Councilman. Yes, it's part of their procedure. It's not something that we invented. They pretty much told us this is what we have to do. Thank you for the opportunity to brief you on the upcoming year activity. Terry Casey's here, and she is turning letters for me today. We are reviewed the funding recommendations for Newcastle County FY 2014 Community Development Block Grant Home Program and Emerging Solutions Grant Program. A way of background in conjunction with the Community Development Block Grant Program, the Home Program, and the ESG Program, Newcastle County is required by law to prepare each year an action plan to notify citizens and HUD of planned funded activities for the upcoming year. The action plan is due to HUD annually by May 15th. The action plan serves as the county's application for CDBG home and ESG funding. In preparation of the one-year action plan to HUD, these are the priorities that must guide the funding allocation process. And these are items that we've already submitted to HUD as to what we're going to do. In developing the plan, Newcastle County must take into account the HUD overall arching goals, increasing home ownership, promoting decent affordable housing, ensuring equal opportunities in housing, and strengthening communities. Anytime in the presentation, if you have a question, please feel free. Newcastle County must also take into account when developing one-year action plan the county's housing priorities developed through the five-year consolidated plan. The county's consolidated plan was developed and approved by HUD in 2010. We still have a couple of years left. There are six housing priorities outlined in the five-year plan, which is specific goals and performance measures tied to that. Non-housing goals are also developed to support programs that provide public and social services to county residents. Newcastle County reports on these measures annually in the annual performance report to HUD. As required by HUD, the action plan must also focus primarily on identifying needs and adopting strategies to address low and moderate income persons and households. Per HUD, Newcastle County must also address the needs of persons with special needs, such as elderly, persons with disabilities, homeless persons and families, and persons living with HIV/AIDS. The next, what we have is the actual schedule for submittal of the action plan to HUD and the process undertaken each year. Notice was published in the News Journal and the Spanish publication William de Delaware, posted on our website and emailed to over 200 CDH stakeholders about grants being available. A public meeting was also held to review the grant application on November 16, 2012. Grants for 2014 funding were due on December 15, 2012. following HUD-approved standard operating procedure, committees were formed to review and rate the grant applications. Committee members included the department, community service staff, the executive office, and volunteers. Committee members spend 1 month reviewing and rating applications with a group recommendation meeting to discuss and rate the applications. The recommendations are reviewed with the county executive, then included in the annual draft plan. The spring plan was available for comment on April 9, 2013. The plan is on our website, and notice that the plan's availability was published in the News Journal and the Spanish language publication in Delaware. Our public meeting last week on April 19, 2013. The close of the comment period is May 10th, with the plan due to HUD, as I stated, by May 15th. Continuation of dates of items that we have to meet, deadlines that are required. Please find Newcastle County's HUD allocation for 2014. As many of you know, over the last 2 years, we have seen substantial reductions to our house and funded housing programs. The final HUD budget, which is the county's fiscal year 2014 budget, was finalized about 2 weeks ago. We're still uncertain about the impact of the budget we'll have in our 2014 budget. That's HUD's budget. We have projected a 5% reduction in all programs and believe that we are currently on target. I know every time I come in here, I tell you that, and I continue to do so because we have yet to have a definitive answer from HUD. We've also estimated our program income for FY14 from our CDBG and home-funded loans for rehab and down payment assistance and settlement assistance, and the projected carry-forward funds available to be allocated for FY14. Non-federal funding sources include a revolving loan pool from county down payment and settlement assistance programs. The first housing priority is to expand the supply of housing for affordable home ownership. The goal tied to this priority is to increase the supply of decent, affordable, accessible for sale housing opportunities available to county's lowest income households through coordination with area CHOTOs, nonprofit, for-profit agencies, and private developers. Each year, Newcastle County hopes to produce approximately 4 to 5 affordable and accessible home ownership housing units. For this priority, Newcastle County plans to fund 3 homeownership projects, 2 located in communities along the Route 913 corridor, Simon's Gardens and Dunleith, and 1 in the southern portion of the county, Middletown area. The second housing priority is a housing rehab for low and moderate income homeowners. The goal is to support families and individuals who already own their homes, but due to economic hardship or excessive cost burden, are not able to make repairs necessary for critical upkeep and value retention. Approximately 200 units per year will be rehabilitated through our homeowner rehab programs. These include our in-house rehabilitation programs, homeowner rehab direct loan program, major rehabilitation up to $55,000, homeowner incentive program rehab up to $20,000 in targeted census tracts, emergency home repair loan up to $5,000 for life and safety issues, and senior minor home repair program, $2,500 grant to senior citizens. This year we are partnering with the Milford Housing Development Corporation, thank you, do home ownership rehabilitation in the Blueprint community of Overlook Colony. The housing goal priority number 3 is to facilitate increased home ownership opportunities for low and moderate income families and individuals in Newcastle County and expand options available to these groups. We anticipate completing 150 settlements per year through the variety of down payment and settlement assistance programs we offer. DPS, which is CDBG funded, up to a $5,000 loan. HIP, deferred loan, up to 3.5% of the purchase price of targeted census tracts. And Section 8 home ownership DPS grants. We will continue to offer vacant home ownership assistance program using funds from the sale of NSP properties. The goal for housing priority 4 is to expand availability of rental housing stock for low and moderate income households. Newcastle County accomplishes this by leveraging home funds with large-scale projects either funded with private equity or through Delaware State Housing Authority's low-income housing tax credit program. Example projects for FY14 funded include 3 multifamily rental housing through housing projects through Lancaster Court Apartment Complex, Cleveland Heights, and Our Lady of Grace property in Newark. Once again, we do not have the last say. Yes.
I'm going to stop here for a second, Alan. I want to recognize the presence of Councilman Street as well as President Bullock. And we have questions from Councilman Redder and Councilman Powers and Councilman Tackett.
Go.
Thank you. Alan, the one up there at Lancaster Court Apartments?
Yes.
Now, do all the owners, could they apply for this?
Actually, and technically, I guess they could. Right now, I have, you understand, Lancaster Court Apartments is a condominium complex.
Right.
One developer has gone in there and has been able to control approximately 60% of the units.
It's a guy from New York?
No, local guy.
Okay, there's a guy from New York owns 36 places. Did he sell them?
Do not know who the seller was. If he hasn't, yes, to answer your question. If he's willing to rehab them and bring them up, yes.
Well, the only reason why I say that, he's from New York. He's a once a month, twice a month landlord.
Well, that's kind of one we want to get rid of.
Right. But, I mean, that's when he comes down here. He comes down, they have a meeting once or twice a month.
Yeah.
It all depends on the situations. Generally a month. Once a month they have it. And if he's going to apply for this, I mean,
we want more than that.
Pardon me?
We would want more than once a month coming down and taking care of things.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, he's from New York. He don't, you know.
No.
And he's getting basically dollar money.
He's not the person that's...
No, he's not the person.
This is a local firm that's been around.
This okay, this is Delaware Valley Development. He's done a number of projects in...
Right, well, the reason we want to say this, because there's probably about, like, 10 owners out there.
There's definitely the Karen Casey with Community Services. They're definitely, that's one of the large problems in that complex, is there are multiple owners, and this local Delaware Valley, they're trying to get control of
they need
by buying out.
Yeah, they need approximately 60% control of the condo board to take
right.
control, to be able to tell them what they need to do.
Right.
And we're almost there.
Yeah.
So we think the problem is we need to get to it now if it becomes a severe problem. This gives us an opportunity to nip it in the bud. Now, we've also had a commitment from the developer to put in a police substation, and we coordinated with our police force, so that'll also
be it'll be busy out there.
Yeah.
Councilman Powers?
Couple slides back, you were saying with the subdivision south of the county, Middletown area, where is that?
East Lake Street.
Is that, yeah. In Middletown.
What is it?
It's the continuation of Habitat for Humanity's work along
okay,
East Lake
yeah.
Street.
Yeah, all right. But it's in Middletown.
Yes.
Councilman Tackett?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have you decided yet on the allocations for each of the 3 projects?
We've given initial funding amounts.
Conversation. Okay.
We write, this is, they have to get a letter from us saying that we'll fund it, but it's not a solid commitment. It's not cast in stone. The low-income housing tax credit process rests entirely with Delaware State Housing Authority.
Right.
They ultimately make a decision. So
that this is contingent on them.
Yes. Them being DSHA.
Yes.
Entirely contingent on DSHA. We
right.
have no say in this process other mm-hmm. than, you know, we're willing to support it. Even if we didn't support it, they would still probably be able to go in with the application.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, it entirely comes out of the Housing Authority.
Are these the only 3 applications you received, or is this just narrowed down to these 3?
On tax credits, I don't really care. Do you remember? I don't know if there was another one.
Yeah, there were 10 home applications received, and 8 were recommended for funding. And I think
the
Cleveland
3.
Heights, Our Lady of Grace, and for the 2 tax credit projects.
Yeah.
that would be contingent on tax credit funding before we would be able to allocate our award funding to
Lancaster Court's a combination of funding we're providing and actual money out of pocket on the part of the developer. So he's actually putting his money into the deal.
Oh, sure. Now, do you also have some type of a, and just kind of like thinking of this as we're seeing it here, but some kind of a strategic plan or whatever when they go in there, almost like, I don't know, you know, some of our communities have like maintenance corps and stuff.
No, do we have? They actually come in with property management companies.
And do we have any type of criteria that we like to see done? Okay.
Yeah, there has. It's actually far more stringent. Let's say housing development with a maintenance corporation.
Right.
And they have to be approved, at least in the tax credit deals, they have to be approved by the Delaware State Housing Authority, and they will be monitored yearly. And we look at their files. We make sure they're actually renting to whom they're supposed to be renting to, and that they're doing a decent job. We also do physical inspections of the property to make sure they're being maintained as best we can.
Can I just ask you a question? Is this a project? Are these projects like Victoria Muse in Newark?
Yes.
Okay, that's
Victoria Muse is a is the same developer and it's a tax credit project.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Just curious.
Not
greater than Newark. Just Newark, Mr. Smith.
The goal for housing priority 4 is expand the availability of rental housing stock for low and moderate income households.
I gotta send you this.
Did we?
I can't believe it.
Okay. My email here.
Where are we?
Maybe your personal. This is about one meal.
Housing priority 5?
Yes.
Okay. To assist homeless population, the goal of providing stability and opportunity to the county's homeless population through work with nonprofit organizations and other public agencies. Newcastle County accomplishes this task by providing operational support for emergency shelter and transitional housing through 6 or more agencies annually. This year, we propose funding 9 shelters with operational support and 1 agency, the Homeless Planning Council, for administrative support they provide to the state to manage the statewide database of homeless assistance. CMIS, Community Management Information System. Newcastle County awarded 1 shelter, ESG, Rapid Rehousing Funds, to quickly transition homeless families into permanent supportive, stable housing. Housing priority number 6 is to support housing for people with disabilities with the goal of supporting independent living housing options for persons with disabilities. The Architectural Accessibility Program administered by the county provides grants for handicapped accessible ramps for owners of occupied homes. About 8 to 10 ramps and other improvements are completed in the course of 1 year. Additionally, home funds will be used to make bathroom renovations to a group home for people with intellectual and development disabilities located in North Wilmington. Owing to the diverse nature of residents in Newcastle County, 2 non-housing goals focused on community development were developed through a 5-year consolidated planning process. These goals are to strengthen communities, promote grassroots organizations. And Newcastle County is only able to spend 15% of our community development block grant allocation on these non-housing programs. Funding is allocated to nonprofit agencies in priority areas. 44% or $128,000 of the CDBG public service grant awards are youth services, summer camps, academic programs, educational programs. That went to 14 nonprofit agencies. Yes, yes.
Alan, could you tell us who identified this agency at the bottom here on the left?
Tessapod?
Yeah.
They're a...
Good.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Carrie Casey with Community Services. They're a transitional shelter for women suffering from domestic violence, and they are located in Belvedere. And Reverend Harmon is the executive director of the organization.
Is that the name of it?
Tessapod, yes.
Once you change that name?
Well, it's a longer name. It's an acronym for something larger, but yeah. I mean, she applies as Tessapod AMCME.
Super Friday Catalyst. Is this real?
Print that up, we'll take a whole page.
Is that at home?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Councilman Street.
This page, as well as the some of the previous pages, Is the grant amount listed anywhere?
In previous years, we've put the totals. All of the specific grant amounts are actually in our annual plan, which is available on the website. And after the meeting, I'd be happy, we could send you a copy to all of council. You know, this is what we usually do is this, you know, we fund about 45 nonprofits with this 200 or about 300,000 that we have. And usually we break it down by the priority of strengthening communities and promoting grassroots organizations. But they are listed in detail in our annual plan, and we'd be happy to send it to you electronically. And it is available on our website if you do.
President Bilal.
Martin Luther King complaint and referral. Is that the name of the group or the function?
Yes, it's the Martin Luther King Complaint Referral Center. The executive director is Herman Holloway, Jr., and they provide emergency assistance to Newcastle County eligible clients around, you know, actually he serves the entire county. And he...
I'm sorry.
Proceed.
26% of our CDBG public service grant awards are for emergency assistance for low-income individuals and families. It's rental utility assistance, transitional housing, motel vouchers, and that's operated by 6 nonprofits.
That's what I'm thinking.
17% for senior special needs programs. That's senior bus transportation, housing options for people with disabilities, HIV, AIDS, emergency housing, and that's run by 8 nonprofits. And 8.5% of our CDBG grant awards are for fair housing activities and foreclosure counseling services. The second non-housing goal is to promote grassroots, faith-based, and community-based organizations. The objective here is to support organizations that work to provide comprehensive housing and community development services, and to help bridge gaps in service to help maximize resources for better program delivery and grassroots efforts. Program funded include foreclosure counseling, fair housing training, emergency housing assistance, and neighborhood cleanups. The extra thing of the day.
So, Alan, on these community agencies, they're broken down into priorities. I noticed that was a 1, that was a 2.
And
they're
all level. They're all the highest priority. It's not number 1 priority, number 2. They're both the same level. All
just have 2 different lists.
Yeah. One is under grassroots and one's under strengthening communities.
Okay.
Yeah, but they both have exactly the same weight, as well with the 6 housing priorities. They're all very, very big priorities for us. We don't rank them.
Okay.
Lastly, Newcastle County must prioritize programs for non-homeless special needs persons. Programs funded in this eligible area include senior supportive services, a summer camp for disabled children, and mental health services for the uninsured. Newcastle County administers the City of Newark CDBG allocation. Newark submitted a budget which includes homeowner rehab, senior housing grants, and public facility and service projects, including some street improvements and a job training program for CDU. The bottom number is our community development block grant administrative cap and home, which has a 10% admin cap. This pays for our administrative work by county staff and all other expenses, including training, materials, indirect costs, and administrative costs for our sub-grantees. So I'd just like to say thank you for the opportunity. You and your constituents have until May 10th to submit public comments for the plan. The draft plan and drafts of substantial amendment are available on the department's housing page. Through the partnership with CDBG funding and Newcastle County summer camps, these children were able to enjoy a summer filled with friends, weekly trips, and lots of swimming. If there are any other questions, I'd be happy to take them now.
Sure. Any further questions from members of the council? Councilman Smalley?
I have some questions and comments, but I'm going to wait until we get under other and fully encompass.
Okay, very well. Councilman Street, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Tackett.
Well, every year I raise a question and I take a view that on the one hand, there's some outstanding agencies that I'm familiar with that do outstanding work, and I'm glad they're in the program. There are other agencies in there that politically motivated, politically driven, and I have a problem with it. The answer has always been, and I'm not going to pick a fight about it now, if you bring it over to us, final approval in the amounts, then it's politicized. It's politicized one way or another, so, you know, in the case of this administration and what it's doing, to the victors go to school, so be it, but I hope it all works and it's all successful, and that way the new administration will get the credit and it stay right where it is, because if some of them do not work out, then assuredly the new administration will get the blame.
Councilman Street has raised this concern year after year, and we've talked a little bit about process before, and maybe you could also talk a little bit about the policing of these agencies.
I was going to ask to do that. Because an agency is awarded the funds, it's not a blank check. We just don't hand out, you know, the money and say good luck, you know, Godspeed. Basically, what we look for is adherence to HUD's regulations. So in actuality, they have to perform and perform according to HUD's regulations before we'll pay them. And if they don't, they don't get paid. It's a cut and dry effect, because basically what happens, HUD comes in and monitors us. Should they find any problems in our process, then we get shut down, and that means everybody gets shut down. So we can ill afford to sit here and just carte blanche an agency simply because they were awarded funds. There's measures that have to be reached, goals that have to be obtained, and like I said, there's monitoring on our part, and that's not just sitting in an office looking at paper, but actually going out and physically monitoring the project.
Councilman Cartier?
Hi. Councilman Street, you know, repeatedly brings this up, and these are very good issues. And even though HUD has, you know, a series of guidelines, doesn't prevent council from, maybe you don't want to politicize the process, but we could create additional criteria or guidelines that we can, you know, have the department enforce to ensure, you know, the highest level of, you know, proper use of funds, and that they are truly benefiting people that we are targeting with the need. So, and I guess, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and we chatted about it, if anyone on council wants to become part of the process, you're more than welcome.
I mean, it's the other comment I have. It's not exactly, you know, on this topic per se, but just bears repeating. I always try to keep this in the front of council members' minds. You know, your department, which is a federal, you know, HUD recipient for the county, has about $1.7 million in salary overheads funded by federal HUD dollars, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, about right.
And it's not like the federal government's budget process is moving in any positive direction regarding HUD dollars. So people just need to understand, you know, we're looking at a world out here that's tremendously uncertain, economy's uncertain, federal government's fiscal situation is uncertain. These impact this county government, just looking at fiscal issues, you know, going over the next two or three years. So
I don't mean to editorialize, but it's not getting any better with time. And that, personally, if someone were to ask me where you think it'll be in a couple of years, I think it won't be as healthy as it is, you know, right now.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we can do what we can do, but quite honestly, I think we're going to have to start paring back programs and getting down to, it may be at a point where we need to sit down and talk together, what are our priorities moving forward, what do we want to fund?
Yeah, I certainly think that's the reality of where we are with these programs. I think everyone watching the news and realized over the weekend with this sequestering, what's happening with the air traffic controllers and the people that are traveling in the air. And it's going to get down to us and these programs that we fund through HUD. That's the reality of the situation. And to the extent that When I notice, or I have a question about an agency that may be receiving funds, usually my question has to do with the location. If I feel that, well, you're spending money in a place where there hasn't been any demonstrated need, I always ask to verify, because like Councilman Street, if I look at just a list of agencies, some of those agencies, you know, I may have questions about, and the ones I think are doing good, some other council person would probably think they're not doing so good. So I think that the, as I understand your process, is a good process, but we're also invited and can be a part of that process, or ask questions about those agencies that you feel that should not be funded, and we would have to try to resolve that. But I think that from my history with dealing with CDBG agencies, I've said this before as well, it's a very challenging project when you have a limited amount of money and you have so many agencies that wants that money, and for any one group of people to decide, you know, who's more deserving than the other, that becomes the real challenge here. But I question some of them, but I recognize the process is a process that is not going to always be a pendulous hauling or something. Process, but that's the reality of it. But I think that there are agencies out there that perhaps we should question and, you know, get satisfactory answers to. Councilman Packett, you change your mind? Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I do have other questions, but I just want to ask one more related to this, because I see, put it this way, I see a group up there that gives me heartburn that I haven't seen in a while getting funds, and now they are presenting. My question is, if 6 months, whatever, in the process, if I had a concern, how would I go about getting their performance assessed? Would I ask, I mean, you said you monitor.
No.
Is there a written report done 6 months, 9 months, or, and is that available?
Yes, anything we do is available.
And we're required by HUD to by September 30th of the end of the fiscal year to submit the annual paper, which is our annual performance report, which actually gives you the statistics by agency. And you know, we have staff, Nicole Waters, who's the person to send any of your comments to.
Which one is she?
We send throughout the year, because it's a reimbursable grant. So when we receive an invoice, it has to have every single piece of backup documentation. Not only that it's eligible, but that it's meeting, you know, we even have client eligibility backup to make sure that that person is income eligible before we can process or pay anything. So she's continually working with some of our nonprofits to make sure that, you know, we're able to pay them, but that the information they provide us is accurate. That information is then rolled into our annual performance report, but Nicole and our other colleague, Sharonda, they go out and actually monitor each file. I mean, they we start this process in a month when we have a mandatory technical assistance meeting where we meet one-on-one with these folks and say, you've got, this is what you need, we will not be able to pay you. And, you know, I understand, but one of our main missions is to support these grassroots groups. So we have had times where we've had some of our nonprofits come in with, you know, receipts that I need help, they don't have the administrative support, and we try to provide that throughout the year. At any point in time, you know, you can call us, we can give you, you know, but we enter into a one-year contract with folks. So, I mean, sometimes they might wait to the third quarter to spend, they're smaller grant amounts, to spend their allocation, but at any time you can contact us. And we'd be happy to, and I think we have in the past, come to council around that September, October, and give you an overview of our annual performance report. Because, I mean, we're proud of our accomplishments, and we largely do it because we have all these nonprofit partners.
And I don't question the good work that you do.
Yeah, sure, no. And we'd be happy to share.
Let's be honest. There are the term grassroots is actually means the family business. Mm-hmm. And those I have a problem with.
Look, they're
so. I appreciate that.
Yeah, they're going to have to perform.
Yeah, they have.
They have to perform. I'm not going to jeopardize this program because
I'll be asking,
and we'll be showing.
One of the other things is that, as Carrie said, and I think Alan said earlier, is that it's essentially a reimbursement. They have to present the invoice. It's not that the county's going to just give them a check from this program and say, well, I want to take kids to Jabip or whatever. If we approve it as part of the program, then you show us the invoice, and the invoice is cut to satisfy that that particular, the check is cut to satisfy that particular invoice. The other thing is that I've actually had agencies complain to me about our process, feeling that, well, it's too much of a problem, and we've had other agencies, because they don't want to go through this accountability process.
Because the state gives them a check, and the state goes away, right?
With to, grant aid?
Not grant aid.
Yeah, no. I don't know.
No, other.
But, oh, I think so.
Discretionary.
But the other thing is that aside from it being a reimbursement or is it satisfied an invoice, there are other agencies who have complained that because they didn't satisfy the requirements that they're going to lose this money and they're not going to get any more money because this is the way our program is set up. We're not going to continue to have you as a recipient for these services when in fact there's a balance on the books because you couldn't prove that you spent the money legitimately. So there are some safeguards
and it's
in place.
Not personal. I mean, it's the way the program operates.
Councilman Street?
I'm going as far because as I can go with the political concern because my own personal bottom line is I run a nonprofit. It's been my practice for 30-some years not to attack other nonprofits. So I'm going as far as I can go. The negative aspect of it is compared to the 99% that I think are doing outstanding work and providing a much-needed service. And, not for this program, then we'd have a whole lot more folks sleeping on the street. And I just want to thank Kara. For what she does, because the compliance reviews come in, I think, every other year. We've been able to, so you've got to endure and reviewers come in, and their job is to find something wrong. That's what reviewers do. They nitpick and do all those things, and we've been able to endure compliance reviews, remain in good standing over the years, and also continue to submit a competitive grant. So it has to be monitored appropriately somewhere going down the line, and as opposed to accentuating the negative concern, I want to just take this time to publicly accentuate the positive concern and the outstanding work that she is doing and the department is doing.
I'll second that.
Well, thank you. Everybody on the staff there, thank you. I will take it back.
If I could add to that, I actually worked by Councilman Street in the nonprofit sector and had the opportunity to receive funds from Newcastle County years ago. It's always been a well-run program, fair. They adhere to the program guidelines, and they actually make it work the way it's supposed to work, and it's a great staff. So basically, I've been here like 4 months, so I'm essentially her cheerleader. So with that, I have a couple other pieces of business I'd like to
absolutely
present. Neighborhood stabilization program update. We're going to have three ordinances introduced that will realign the existing neighborhood stabilization program funds and appropriate future program income so that Newcastle County can maximize the impact of NSP funds in distressed communities. It's basically program income. The state of Delaware was given the money. They gave it to us with hopes that we could spend it, and we did, and help them out. And what we want to do is basically realign the funding so that we can move forward to utilize the program income that we receive so that we can continue to rehabilitate houses. The Neighborhood Stabilization Program has been in effect since 2009. And we've been awarded, we Newcastle County, over $13.5 million in one-time federal funds. And that's NSP, Neighborhood Stabilization Program 1, 2, and 3. 56 properties have been acquired, renovated, and sold to eligible homeowners for special needs. The homeownership units, 51, come with a 15-year homeownership requirement, deed restriction. and special needs rental properties come with a 30-year deed restriction to remain affordable rental for special needs populations. Currently, we have 21 properties in the pipeline, 16 are under renovation, 5 are currently for sale, and 2 scheduled for settlement at the end of the month. From the sales, Newcastle County has been able to accumulate over $6 million in program income to invest back into the properties and create the vacant home buyers assistance program. Since November 2011, 122 vacant home buyer assistance program loans have settled to eligible home buyers to purchase vacant properties in NSP eligible areas. And it's Newcastle County has received a little over $2 million additional NSP funds beyond the original awards. In March, Delaware State Housing Authority met the 50% expenditure deadline for NSP 3 because of a last-minute allocation to Newcastle County in September in the amount of $1.75 million. In only 4 months, we were able to buy 13 properties, provide loans and NSP census tracts, and spend $1.5 million. $50,000 over the required amount to get the state to meet its HUD guidelines. Kerry was a white knight riding to their rescue, is the bottom line on this.
I know how to spend money, basically.
Yeah, she's not with a credit card. So Ordinance 13029 will amend the grant budget to realign $250,000 of program income within the NSP2 grant. Funding will be realigned to decrease the contractual services line, increase land and structure so that we will have the ability to purchase additional NS2 eligible properties. Ordinance 13030 will amend the grants budget to appropriate $500,000 in projected program income from sales of the NSP3 houses. We currently have 13 properties under contract with anticipated finish dates within the next 4 months. Funding will be appropriated to administrative costs. We're allowed 10% or $50,000. Contractual services and grants, fixed charges to fund the renovation of 13 NSP3 properties. And Ordinance 13035 will amend the grants budget to realign $200,000 of federal funds within the NSP1 program. Funding will be moved from grants and fixed charges to contractual services. This allows us to serve as developer, Newcastle County, of the NSP3 property. As developer, Newcastle County is able to use the approved bid list of eligible contractors provided by the purchasing department. Basically, we become the contractor and we bring the process in-house and eliminate some of the fees that we paid to the nonprofits. 2 points I'd like to make is, okay to go ahead with the Federal Home Loan Bank on that? Yeah, thanks. We're making an application to the Federal Home Loan Bank of Pittsburgh in the amount of $500,000. We've already met with one of the individuals on their board, and they seem favorable to our request. These funds would be used in the NSP areas to enhance our activities and give us better clout. It's difficult in a development to do one or two properties and expect some kind of bang for the dollar. So this really gives us a hammer to get in there and do something. We've had meetings internally in our department. I think I mentioned just real briefly about going to our procurement list that we want to take a serious look at that and make sure that we're maximizing the participation of MBE and WBE participants, minority contractors. So that's another thing that we want to do prior to going out to bid. So we will actively work with the purchasing department to make sure that it in fact is maximized and we keep our contractors as local as we can and helping all contractors get a chance to bid on this work. Any questions on that?
Councilman Street.
I would just encourage you to look beyond the purchasing department that has 3-4% history. So in terms of them showing you the way, in my view, they'll show you the wrong way.
Noted. Well, that's how our conversation initiated. We felt that it really needed to be expanded. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we have to go through as an agency, as a department, but we feel that we can expand our capability of dealing with a broader range of contractors that's limited. And we will also be willing to work with contractors to make sure they understand the process of getting on the bidding list. Sometimes they're a little intimidated by the paperwork. We'll be also doing this with our nonprofits come on in, here's the paperwork, here's how you fill it out, this is how it gets done. It's not as difficult as it seems. So I will take note to what you're saying, Councilman.
Yeah, and I think, to that point, I think as a department, you certainly have the opportunity and the ability to do some outreach. There are lists that are out there that are available, that you can make certain that people are aware of the opportunities and therefore...
It's not going to hurt to have open meetings for contractors come in and explain the process. We did that with their funding for the weatherization program to maximize the participants, and I see no reason why we couldn't do it with this program once we receive the funding.
Councilman Cartier?
Yeah, I would hope we'd go in the direction. I spent my working life in the HVAC trade, and I can tell you that, you know, the program where we supply replacement boilers and furnaces for needy families is well understood by that, you know, that group of contractors, and they pursue it actively. And I would hope the same thing would, you know, unfold with our NSP or housing rehab programs, where we get all, you know, familiarity across a lot of different, you know, businesses out there, and where we have more active, you know, pursuit of those contracts. And I think, you know, working with trade organizations that, you know, are in contact with those folks, you know, is really one of the ways that we can do that.
And there's one other aspect of that I personally like to work on is getting those checks turned around, because that seems with your smaller contractors, the mom and pop, I mean, they're really dependent. Yeah. They don't have the cash flow to carry, you know, something 30, 60 days.
Right.
So it's my hope that, and I may be off base on this, get those things, once they're approved, get them turned around as quickly as possible, maybe in a week, because it's essential for cash flow for these companies to stay in business and they get paid in a timely manner. Because once again, we reimburse when we pay. It's not an upfront thing.
Any additional comments on the Neighborhood Stabilization Program? We'll move to the final item on the agenda, item number 6. It's an update on resident services and resources.
There will be an ordinance introduced tonight to appropriate $202,300 in state grant and aid funds to the Absalom Jones Senior Center for fiscal year 2014. This level funding for the current, this is the level funding where we're currently in year 13. The funds are issued through the Controller General's Office. The final award amount is expected on June 30th. We'll elaborate on this more in the Finance Committee meeting that we'll be attending. Yesterday, I think all of you received your applications for the Summer Youth Employment Program. The department is currently developing its application, which is due May 3rd to the Department of Labor. We'll be applying for $251,000, which would employ 150 youth. Last year we applied for $250,000, increasing that. Unfortunately, we received $76,900 out of that grant request. Council last year generously supported the program with $61,000, and the county executive supported it with $40,000. The department is preparing funding requests for council and the executive offices again this year. We really want to maximize this as much as possible. We were able last year to help 126 kids. We would like to get more. I'll be meeting tomorrow with someone to see if we can get a little more out of the state. We really run a good program. Newcastle County really does. And I think it's only fair that maybe they should look to increase the amount of funding we get, because they really get a bang for their dollar working through us. So we're going to make some outreach efforts to see what we can do to increase that allocation in the state.
Councilman Tackett?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Alan, many of us work very closely with our state legislators here, and I think maybe providing us with a little bit of statistics on that money, like where it went down.
We'll have something to you in the next 48 hours. It's just a recognition of what we do and who we get it to, and it's important that if you can help us, that would be great.
All right, and what we got and like where it was distributed, and like, you know, we heard from Councilman Street, something might have went on last time that certainly wasn't the benefit of Newcastle County, but If we could get some of that to our state legislators to get some kind of word to John over there in the office. They're going to be looking at this, hopefully, and
we'll
making sure.
We'll get that to you so you can make the appropriate outreach.
Right.
Then I'm happy to announce that working with AARP, the department updated the Senior 50 brochure and has it available. It basically shows the number of services offered to the seniors in Newcastle County. Once again, we dropped a bunch of them off to you yesterday. Let us know if you need additional copies. Jane from our department is heading that effort, and anything you may need, she'll be able to help you. We did 10,000 copies, and we paid for it out of our departmental printing line item, so we absorbed that. And that basically is my presentation for the day. Any questions?
You said there are updates to the brochure, or you just got more ordered, or did you change information?
Yeah.
Councilman Diller?
Yes, just a couple of things.
Councilwoman Diller?
I'll take it. I'll take recognition however I get it. For the summer youth program, I would like to echo Councilman Tackett's comments. If you can give us some talking points that we can put into a letter, you know, I think that would be very helpful, and pass it along to try and get some kind of recognition of the needs for Newcastle County for the summer youth program. The other thing I just wanted to say is that this brochure, and I want to thank you for reprinting it. I can't keep it on the table when I go places, but this is as a direct result of the work of the Subcommittee on Aging, where we had a very specific request from one of the members to get a brochure for county services, and I really appreciate AARP's support and then community services taking up the mantle and continuing it on. It's a great resource, and people love it.
Councilman Cartier and Councilman Smalley.
This question goes maybe off what you're presenting right now into other maybe, but just recalling that we were able to find additional funding for the senior home repair program, I think in excess of $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any idea where that backlog is? Because I know that this, we were able to throw this in there to address the backlog of senior home repair.
Sure. Carrie Casey with Community Services. The senior home repair program is offered in conjunction with the senior minor home repair program,
right,
as a deferred loan, and we can get you those statistics. I don't have them on the top of my head, but I know that we anticipate fully using our entire allocation of the federal money, meaning you know, we're working through that list as quickly as we can. But I'll get you the stats.
Yeah, because I'm talking about the $400,000 that we found.
Oh, sure.
Found
right.
money.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Found money, which is used in conjunction with the senior minor home repair money to offer to a senior. Yes. So we'll get you those statistics.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Councilman Smalley?
Yeah, Mr. Mattis. And this is meant for anybody. And I want to preface my remarks. It's kind of switched a little bit, I got to say. Thanks to a conversation with Mr. McDonald yesterday and some emails today and a response from Mr. Pepperkai, I feel a little better right now. But I don't know whether anybody else is having the issue. But for me, I feel like I'm backing what other council members went through 2004 and earlier. I feel like my district's being frozen out, in particular myself. I've never had a problem getting information. Now I got a problem getting information anywhere in the county. I can't even get a response to myself now when I ask if a community is eligible for the trash cleanup program. Right? I'm not going to change the way I am. So either the administration is going to change in their direction, or we're going to have a lot of issues for whatever amount of time one of us survives. It's as simple as that. Now, some things I can't do anything about. They don't want to. I will go. I have no problem, as I told Mr. Pepperkai. I'll go to FOIA route if I have to. Fortunately, I didn't have to. But if I got to change it to FOIA and then use the AG's office to get what I want, so be it. I've always been supportive of community services. Councilman Hollins and Councilman Street have educated me a great deal in what the programs do and everything. But I will tell you right now, as much as I want to help people, I will take this thing to the dirt if I find out that the people in the 7th District are being denied rights and privileges through federal funds for home rehabs or anything else. And that community cleanup that others are getting. I'm not going to sit by for it. I'll take it where I have to take it. Again, I want to say, I have a glimmer of optimism based on these two gentlemen in the last 2 days. I don't know if the plane has landed yet, and that'll change. But I'm hoping this reflects a change in the thought process. If not, fine. You know, I'll do it. I'll do what I have to do. But I do not expect, fortunately for me, during the whole last campaign, I didn't go to a meeting where I didn't predict that this would happen if I didn't fall in lockstep with certain people. So at least they're prepared for it, but they're also prepared to back me up and go to the mat if we have to. So I put that out there to you, whether you're aware or not aware. Unfortunately, you happen to be the next meeting to come. The first one was finance, and I'm not beating up on myself. So, you know, I leave that to others to do. So with that, I will.
No, if I could just respond. We will not deny any services to any constituents, any individuals who are eligible to get the cap, ever. I don't care where they live. They'll get services that they're entitled to.
But understand, if there's an issue with me requesting as the councilman, I could care less. I'm not there for ribbon cutting and press conferences. I have no problem telling my constituents, you're entitled to it, here's how you need to move it forward. But I consider my eighth part of our job to help work the process with them, to work through the process. And that's what we do. Right now, I don't feel that cooperation is there. Whether any other council members are having those issues, I don't know. But I know I am.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I hope this message goes. And it's not just one department. It's countywide. It's countywide. Except for, I will say, I haven't noticed anything in the police. They're still locking up my constituents, so that's going fine.
Well, Councilman Smalley, I have said, both Alan and Kerry, I think, would vouch for me during the meetings I've had about CDBG, that I think that it's very important to disperse the dollars so that all of the council districts are receiving CDBG to the needs of that district. So. I've said that not just this year, but in years past, that it's very dangerous when you look at where the dollars are going, and they're going to one region of Newcastle County. So I agree with you on that. In terms of the, and I really feel that Alan has been very, very open with his communication with me, and oftentimes it's surprising because I'm not one of the favorites of this administration either. And quite honestly, when I heard the county executive doing his budget presentation say that, well, he encourages council members to talk to the general managers and just give them a call and so forth. Well, the fact of the matter is, when my aide sent a request over for a sweep to the general manager of land use, as the policy states, the response came back from another assistant in land use who wasn't even in the loop, saying that, well, these requests now has to go to the chief administrative officer and the county executive. And we just responded back, thank you. And then later on, it was some other, you know, so we've gone through all of these. Finally, it was done. But our response, the response that came back from someone we didn't even send the email to, came from another person, I guess, that got in the loop somehow to tell us that it had to go to the chief administrative officer or the county exec, and then they may or may not do it. So I'm like, I just say to my constituents, well, this is the problem I'm having with this administration. They refuse to cooperate, so call them. So it's not just you if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah.
But that's certainly the experience that we had in dealing with just trying to get a sweep done.
Well, everyone's seen the email. I'm not allowed to request information unless I copy the CAO.
Now, we have a number of council members. I'm out of order here
Street.
In terms of
now I get the
Councilman Street
the
and Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Fighting, I forgot what I was going to ask. Go ahead.
Felt so good.
Oh, you want to be in the fight, right? The fight is more interesting than your question.
Well, I have one more as part of that.
Councilman Kilpatrick, and then you have another item that you had brought.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that now? Or?
I'll yield to Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
That's under other, I believe, right?
Yeah, that's where we're
okay. We are there? Okay.
I guess...
Okay.
to quote Councilman Street, as he said many times, you opened the door, so I'm going to walk through it. Over the past couple of months, I have a group within my district that has been trying to form an umbrella group. Prior to this administration, we were getting help through community governing for that institution of that organization. It fills a need in an area that is between two other umbrella groups that is now becoming kind of a hotspot for development, so they felt that they wanted to have some input into the system. We hit the point where we were having an organizational meeting and asked again if we could have somebody from the county there to just give advice, since the county does help them form maintenance associations, that this is very similar in the process that they would have to go through, and we were turned down in that request. Ultimately, we found an attorney that will do this pro bono for them, but I find it again very strange that in a process that we had been receiving county assistance in under a different administration was just cut. And we know I'm right along with Councilman Smiley and Hollins in love.
In the love, she has love. My turn.
Councilman Smiley.
I mean, you can help me understand this expense for CDBG. I, in reviewing grant applications for county council, came one of them for the food bank. Part of our grant application process requires, it asked if the organization has previously received Newcastle County grant funding and state the amount received, receipt date, and use. And they listed that in the current fiscal year, they got a commitment for $5,000 in CDBG to fund one scholarship position for a resident of Newcastle County to attend a culinary school. I don't understand how the CDBG, how that works, because I never knew there were scholarships available through it, or how that would work.
Okay, well, let me explain. For fiscal year 13, last year, or 2011, the Food Bank of Delaware actually applied for $15,000 to provide assistance to offer three low-income qualified people in the county the opportunity to graduate from their culinary skills academy, which costs $5,000. And the committee, the CDBG ESG committee last year made the recommendation, because of the job training and job skills and culinary arts is really big, a big commitment, big priority area for the public service dollars that we get, the committee recommended funding that program at $5,000. Because it was less than their request, we asked them to modify and ask how many people they would be serving with the 5,000, and it actually is for one person to get that training and to be placed. It comes great. With a whole gamut of services following the graduation, job placement, follow up for a certain period of time. And the committee really, it was actually the first time we had funded them. Felt like
I never heard of it.
Yeah, and we do like scholarships. It. I mean, we do summer camp scholarships. Yeah. I mean, summer camp scholarships, we do the full amount.
This is somewhat, summer camp, maybe I'm looking at it because that's for children and all that.
Right.
This just seems another level up, and I wasn't aware of it, and I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we do get those, and actually they requested funding for fiscal year 14 as well. We did not, the committee did not recommend it because of the fact our funding's cut, and we just felt like one person, even though it's an awesome.
But nothing like this would be available for, let's say, a Del Tech.
What do you mean? Del Tech could apply if they would.
If they had a program.
Sure. They could apply for, it's a public notice. We say any nonprofit that would like to apply for these funds can apply for them.
Okay. See, the way this reads, it's for the student, but it's the nonprofit or the business that applies.
Yes.
And then they award the grant.
Yes.
So they basically apply for funding for the program.
Right.
And then award a grant to that program.
Exactly.
Based on,
Exactly.
Okay, that helps me understand it a little better. But that took me back a little bit. I just didn't understand it. And we just got it today, so that's why I'm asking.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have anyone else? Is that it? No further questions, comment? We're about 8 minutes after.
My apologies. I'll give you 8 minutes at my next meeting. Motion to adjourn?
Second. Public comment, I think we have to do that. I'm sorry, George. Any public comment? Seeing none? Okay,
motion to adjourn?
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.